And welcome to Flowery Branch. Alongside John Michaels, I'm Dave Archer, and here comes Coach Dan Quinn, and it's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on the home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Dan, I guess yesterday, if you're a guy that wants to win football games, which we do, we're in the business of winning games, that looked great to you to win that game 10-7 and get out of Nashville.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be just it felt like a heavyweight fight, both guys throwing punches back and forth. We were prepared for this one to go down to the end. I just had a feeling. They hadn't played well the week prior. And we knew they were going to come out and fight, and it was going to be an all-day one, and it certainly was.
What did you learn about your team yesterday, coming off the mini-bye, as everybody called it, after the New Orleans
yep.
loss? What did you learn from them yesterday, being able to gut out that win?
Well, I think I've already known that we have a lot of grit. We have a lot of toughness. And then we tried to find just areas that we could improve upon. And one of those defensively was third down. And so for us to have the improvement on third down, I was really pleased with. The thing that we can continue to do better for sure is the turnover margin. We got two, but we also gave up two. So we know we're at our best when we're in the plus, whether it's plus one, plus two, plus three. When we're in zero, or if we have a game like we had at New Orleans where we're in the negative, that's when it gets hard. We love playing our style. We're able to ball hawk and go get it and give it back to the offense. And then the way we can run it and play on third down, that time of possession is going to continue to be a factor, for the whole team.
Dan, I think so often when the fan looks on, they're seeing a game and they look at the numbers and it's a video game to them, and they're kind of comparing, okay, this is what Tennessee looks like over here at 1-4, 1-5, and here's what Atlanta looks like. But rarely does the game ever play out
no.
that way, and there's a lot of pride on the other side of the ball, and you just mentioned they'd gotten their rear ends handed to them the week before. That really plays into a game, doesn't it?
I think we want to demonstrate respect for everybody we play, and knowing that whoever you play, you're going to get their absolute best. And when you have that mindset and that approach going in, if a team's not ready, then you're going to those wacky games that come out, that happen. But for the most part, we want to demonstrate our respect for how much we love this game by bringing everything we got every time we go.
When you talk about bringing everything every time you go, winning on the road in this league, as I've learned doing broadcasts for 5 years with the Falcons, not easy. You've
yep.
now banked three of them with a win yesterday. How important is that for the start of the season to have these wins under your belt?
I think it's terrific for the players, knowing there's a real routine about how we want to go about it. And for us, the real difference is going to be the noise on the road. And so being here at practice, you can see it's loud a good bit of the time. So we're going to be able to go on silent count and use hand signals. So let's make sure our routine stays consistent when we go down to Georgia Tech and stay there overnight in terms of going on the road and doing that. So I think having the players knowing their routine every week stays consistent, that helps a bunch too.
Dan, you went out in the preseason and you went and found a couple players that you felt like fit really well. We're going to get a chance to talk one here coming up in O'Brien Schofield that fits in really well with what you guys do in a lot of areas. But another guy is Justin Durant. You'd missed him over the last few weeks. He certainly looked like he's a starter for your football team for a reason, and it certainly paid off for you yesterday.
I think you feel his speed, but then the thing that you probably don't see, but we as coaches and the players do, his ability to communicate. And those pre-snap tips that come up at the line of scrimmage, this formation, this back set, this alert, when a guy's able to share that with a teammate, hey, this play may come up, I've scouted this, I've seen this one, and then when you're able to make a play based on what another guy told you, man, that's like gold.
Justin just looks like an intense fellow watching him from the field. He doesn't look like a guy that has a lot of, give or take. It's just, I'm going to go out and play football. Describe his personality and what he brings outside of the intangibles you just talked about.
Well, off the field, there's like a real quiet toughness about him. Like he's not a guy that people mess with. this should be all linebackers, right?
Right.
But on our team, he's got a lot of, cred from his teammates because of that communication, the football smarts that he brings, and he brings it all the time. He's an every down guy for us, and so it was hard not having him there. It was a great opportunity for some other guys to get experience and playing, but he's a factor for us and one that we certainly count on inside.
The difficulty of handling a multifaceted group with tight ends this weekend, they really good pass-catching
yep.
tight ends, and then you add Dexter McCluster to the mix, which creates more problems. He can maybe come out the other same side or the other way. How difficult was that to deal with in how you wanted to play defense yesterday?
Yeah, we thought that was going to be a factor, not just with Walker and with McCluster back in the backfield. When you want to play man-to-man, those are matchups that you have to be conscious of. Both the guys have done it really well for a long time. We remember our time from Delaney when, being in San Francisco and the tough matchup he had there. And then with McCluster, although he's small, he can spin, he can shift, he can run it inside. He's a complete back, and we knew that was going to be a factor for sure. As far as them using the whole complement of the stuff, we knew that was going to be there with Mettenberger as well because he had been there, the whole time. So there was nothing that was going to be limited for him in the package.
Did you feel like the changing point in the game, maybe the change of momentum, was Paul Warlow coming up with the interception in the end zone?
I think so. And every game we'd say, who's going to be the one to set it off? And so for whatever reason, that was the one. And, man, we were disappointed that we didn't get the points out of the drive. We had an unfortunate penalty where it came back off of the interception. But I think that was the one that kind of fueled the spark to say, all right, now it's time. That was the one that we needed. Let's get going again. So we knew it was going to be a tough game. We just had this feeling going into it. We had really good preparation in the week ahead. We had, healthy in terms of the roster, but we anticipated a full fight.
Dan, you talk about being aggressive, and it's aggressive with your attitude, aggressive of being prepared. All those kind of things fit into the category of aggression. Then there's also what you want to do in the game from a play call standpoint. How difficult or how fine a line is it to being aggressive and then maybe crossing that line to where you put yourself in a bad situation?
I think the biggest thing for me that, can I help make great decisions for the team? And some of those come down to the fourth down ones when we have an opportunity to extend a drive or, in yesterday's case, to go try and, go up two scores in the game. So those are the ones that I'm always trying to make the best decisions for the team. And those are the ones we try to think out during the week. And if this scenario comes up, how could we plan for it? So that's how I want to stay aggressive with the team. I have such trust and belief in the guys. When the opportunity comes up for us to have an opportunity to do that, I want to make a good decision for the guys.
And that's certainly what you're talking about with at least Matt Ryan making big decisions, throwing the football, all those kind of things, trying to get that idea across that, yeah, we want to stay aggressive, but, there's something in there that says, hey, we got to know when there's a cautionary tale, correct?
Yeah, I think so, because let's make great decisions with the ball, both offensively and defensively, and just when we don't, it's not worth it.
Right.
And so I think that's the real message. And, for Matt, I mean, the leader that he is and all that he brings to our team, you can count on that being a big part of what he's going to get.
Absolutely.
Fixed.
Coach, you made the decision to go challenge a play with Julio down by the end zone, and I watched it on the Jumbotron probably 10 times as they replayed it, and to me it was the bang-bang of was the foot in or out. Did you get a chance after the game to go back and look at that play? Because I thought he scored, just from my perspective.
That's really what I thought when we threw the challenge to say, did the ball get over the pylon? And so it wasn't a matter of fact of we were going to challenge if the foot was in or not. We just thought he got the ball over the pylon at the time. So we thought the foot was in. Did the ball get over the pylon? So it was one. It was totally worth doing, in my opinion. That would have put the game up, where he had the two scores. And it just ended up working out where they made two terrific plays on third down and fourth down. I think in that situation, let's give them credit too. They made some good plays. And then having the interception, I thought, okay, if we didn't get it, they have to go 99 and a half. And so it's like,
I loved how you covered the 99 and a half yourself to get down there to get the challenge. That was pretty good.
So it was totally worth going for it. And, as it went through it, they made the ruling, and then we deal with it from there.
It's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Your home of the Atlanta Falcons. Head coach Dan Quinn alongside John Michaels and myself. Dan, I keep talking about it in the broadcast. Devontae and the ever evolution of Devontae Freeman and the way he runs the ball, his patience is incredible. His ability to go sideways as fast as he goes straight ahead. Talk about his development as you've watched it just in the short time we watched him carry the ball.
I think, number one, I think his mindset, his effort, it's almost unmatched in terms of how, competitive he is. And then the second factor is with Kyle and with Bobby Turner, one gap at a time. And he has this knack of knowing, okay, exactly how he wants to set the block up. If I can take it outside, I do. Otherwise, I run to it, and then I cut, and I can bring it back one gap at a time. So for him, having the real understanding of that philosophy of how we want to run our wide zone plays, he is a factor.
Well, he did such a great job, He did such a great job on one coming to the Tennessee sideline, where they had it leveraged pretty good and were trying to set the edge. And just a little dip to the inside got the defender to step inside, and then he scooted to the outside for about a 10-yard pickup.
Yeah, they're setting up the blocks.
It was incredible.
Is that something that's taught? You mentioned that going gap to gap. Or is that more instinctual from Devontae?
Well, I think there's probably a combination of both, but it's certainly taught. We want absolutely to press the line of scrimmage as far as we can, and then when we see a defender on one side, that's when the cut happens. So, yeah, there's a different style to it.
Let's go to our coach's question, Coach. Brought to you by United B&W. Selection, incredible service, the ultimates. Shop at the entire BMW line at United BMW in Gwinnett or in Roswell or online at 24/7 at UnitedBMW.com. Coming from Bill in Macon. And the question today is, Julio Jones looked like he was a little winged yesterday. It looked like he fought through it. You've always talked about the guy's a warrior. But it looked like just as you thought maybe he would come off the field, he's the guy that catches that little out route and shoves it in the end zone. Julio and his leadership of the way he plays.
I think, number one, for him being back and healthy, man, that was a real factor for us. Knowing, okay, that he had to battle through, some injuries in a couple of the games, but having him back at full strength, that's a huge factor for us. We're going to target him a lot. You know, that's the type of player he is. He's able to handle it. And all the different routes that he runs, it's not just the deep stuff. It's not just the inside. You know, it's not just a comeback. We put him at a number of different spots. And because of his football smarts, he's able to handle all of it.
You guys have done a great job getting everybody involved in the offense. I saw Tevin in there a couple of times yesterday spelling Devontae. But talk about a guy like Nick Williams, who many people in this city didn't know about until he made the football team. And then they all asked us, why is Nick Williams on the team? But talk about what he brings to your team, and we're starting to see his development a little bit.
I think the way he earned his way onto the team was as a competitor, and he just battles for it every single chance. So he stood for a lot of the things that we want to be about in terms of the competitiveness and the toughness. It seems like he's, you know, when you throw the dog, the stick to the dog, and he runs and gets it and brings it back, third down, and it's Nick throwing it to him and catching it. And there's a lot of stuff that he does really well. In specifically, it's the option routes that he can run on third down, where he can, if a person's having a certain leverage in man-to-man, he can really break them off. And to me, that's the thing that he does the best.
Boy, he did a heck of a job. Did not miss a stride. I know you would love to have had Hank in the game. Hankerson goes down a little bit of a tight hamstring, and Nick stepped right in there and he didn't miss a beat.
And he's one of the guys that has that versatility to play all the spots. So we all have such belief in him that when it was his time to go, there was not a beat, not a hesitation.
Yeah, that's the only difference that I see, but it is the Alex Gibbs zone blocking up front.
Julio Jones tiptoes into the end zone, and that's a touchdown, the first of the day for Atlanta.
He's heard that score from Julio Jones, and we were talking a little bit at the break there, Coach. That was something you guys had worked on. Brilliant setup where you got Julio isolated on a defensive end, and then Devontae helped out as well.
Yeah, that was for sure one that Matt and Julio had worked on hard during the red zone emphasis of practice. And I think the thing that probably got overlooked was Devontae converting after the pass and then helping out block. And when you give Julio a little time to get in the end zone, he usually finds it.
How do you get that matchup situated? Is there something you see on film that they'll do specifically to maybe spread a guy out, talking about a Derek Morgan or a defensive end, where you can get them isolated on one of your playmakers?
Sometimes you can hope for a certain coverage on a down and distance, and on third downs, sometimes those come up. And in the red zone, certain spots, those come up. So that was just one really good play call and designed by Kyle, and then the ability for Matt and Hu to work that one in practice.
Dan, this was a pretty physical defensive front you faced. Big guys that had the ability to push. From a teaching concept, it looked like that Mike Person and Chester do an unbelievable job of maybe absorbing a guy and kind of running him out of the play. Is that part of the design of the way you want to run the football? And you obviously want to win on their side of the football, but in those situations, it looked like they won there too.
Yeah, we do want to make sure that we're coming off the ball at every chance. And then inside, there's a number of combinations that can take place, a tight end and a tackle, a guard and a tackle, or a center and a guard, and that can all be on the front side or the back side. So that communication that takes place between those guys inside, you can see why that's so important. And each front has a little nuance that goes with it. But the ability for Mike in specifically, the way he can come off the ball as a center and get to the next level or work in combination with a guard, he's off to a great start.
Staying with the offensive line, you're getting a ton of mileage off the left side behind Jake Matthews. Talk about the young left tackle who's gone from a year ago, struggled with injuries, to this year just being one of the best in the game.
And I didn't get a chance to appreciate, you know, his foot quickness. He was coming off a foot injury, so he didn't get to participate in the OTA, so I didn't have a real sense of what he could be. And I think having the addition of Levitre and Jake Long into that group has even blossomed him even more to turn into the player that he can be. It's a real veteran presence in that room, and the way Jake can come off the ball, he can not only cut off the backside, but on the front side as well. He can really get off and get on the edge.
Dan Quinn, Coach's Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dan, it looked like you guys have done a brilliant job of tweaking or adjusting attitude or whatever it's been at halftime. The Dallas game, you talked about, hey, we just came in and said, hey, we need to play better. And you went out and played better in the second half. Maybe a little tweak here or there. Yesterday it looked like you dialed up a couple more pressures, maybe a five- or six-man pressure, opportune opportunities. Was that what you saw at halftime that you felt like you needed to get to?
Well, we knew we had to affect the quarterback more. Sometimes that'll be with the rush and sometimes, you know, regarding with the pressure. But I think the biggest thing for the defense was, you know, having the wins on third and fourth down. That was the real factor in the game, we thought. If we can get those ones to where they have to turn into punts, we've got a real shot at it. And the nice part about this game, they weren't in the low, you know, third and twos and threes. They were in the long yardage situations.
Seemed like the game was getting a little chippy right there before halftime. They kind of didn't allow you to take a knee. I think it was Jarrell Casey got a little bit up into Mike Person's face. And then Devontae's getting into it. Eric Weems is getting into it. Could you sense that the guys all of a sudden turned it on a little bit when that started to happen?
Well, I could. And they're not going to allow somebody to go hit our quarterback, you know. And right. That part of it, you know, in terms of – the you know, the sense for that's our brotherhood together. So that mindset, that's not going to be tolerated for sure. It was a physical game all the way through, and you just had this sense it was going to be that whole day. They've got a really good front, and, you know, they can attack. They've got pass rushers. That part we knew was going to be a real challenge, both in protection and the run game, and it was physical. They didn't disappoint.
I had a pleasure talking to Robinson Therese after the game, and I know you've used those guys interchangeable. They know they're going to play, and they don't know when they're going to play, or they probably do, but they get in there and they do their job. All he wanted to talk about was I was where I was supposed to be, and I did what I was supposed to do. And that seems to be the mindset every time you talk to one of these guys, hey, I know what my job is. I'm going to squeeze the trigger.
And one of the things we talk about when we use the word finish, we say do right longer. And you don't have to make things up. Let's make sure play exactly the technique that you want. We don't have so much volume, you know, in our package that we, you know, allow, you know, where it's this thing or this thing. But the things that we want to do, let's make sure we do them really well. And it's those little details of, you know, whether it's melting on the quarterback or staying inside leverage or being in the correct spot. Those are the things that help us play at our best.
In your experience as a coach, how much does something like that for Robinson Therese, who's a rookie, won a job on this team as a free agent, is playing meaningful minutes on this team, how much does a confidence level exponentially jump for a kid like that when he makes a play?
It does, and I think the real factor is that you're showing your teammates, man, you can count on me. And anytime you get a chance to come through when you're called upon and you're able to do that, there's a lasting feeling with that, not just with yourself but with your teammates, knowing, all right, we can count on him. You know, he can make the play. He can step up. He can handle whatever we throw at him. And so I think that's really where it comes from, the confidence, not just for yourself knowing you can make a play, but for the others around you know that you can be counted on.
We have a lot of confidence, obviously, sitting at 6-1, but a big game coming to town this week. Tampa Bay in division, always a little bit more important. First thoughts on Jameis Winston, rookie quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, what you've seen on film with him so far?
Well, I think the biggest thing that you've seen so far is just the improvement. And just exactly like you'd expect, you know, as he's gone through now, you know, not quite yet half an NFL season, but the different looks that happen and the timing with the receivers. And you can imagine how much is, you know, how hard it is to learn a new offense in a short time. So I think that's the thing that jumps out to us now is, you know, now when the game slows down for a quarterback, and that certainly seems to be the case with him.
It's a team that's got some really good personnel on the defensive side of the ball, and I know they're probably not pleased with the way things turned out for them yesterday. But it still is a group that I know when you look over there, you got a lot of respect for guys on that side of the football.
I certainly do. And any time you go against a team that's been coached by Lovie Smith, they will go after the football. And I think they're up near the top of the league in terms of forced fumbles. And that had been the case through his time in Chicago and no different there in Tampa. It's about the ball for us, and they do a good job ball hawking as well.
Now, on the other side, they've got basically a small forward cast playing wide receiver
sure.
If you throw in the tight end as well. What challenge does that present for the defensive backs, and do you attack them differently because of the size matchups?
Well, not only do they have the size there, and I think they're really running the ball effectively, you know, with Martin, the toughness that he brings. So every week, you know, there's unique guys on different teams and how they try to feature the guys, and that's what us as coaches get a chance to go through and find the matchups. We want the players them to worry about how fast they can play, how physical we can play, and we'll, as the coaches, try and find and put the guys in the correct spot.
Dan, you mentioned Doug Martin, a guy that's really off to a really good start here in the season, and he looks like he's one of those multifaceted guys where you had Antonio Andrews, who's a banger.
Yep.
They wanted to play physical, and then when they wanted to throw it, McCluster came in or Sankey came in the game. This kid stays in the game the entire game, and he can hurt you in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he's a complete back. All downs in the pass game. He's strong enough to be in protection. And then, you know, in the run game, he speaks for himself. So he'll have our work cut out for us. And we love the challenges that come through each week. And this is another one for the team.
Is that different as a coach, seeing a team that has a solo back? Because so much it's back by committee. Is it a little bit different attack when you look at a Doug Martin?
Not necessarily, unless the scheme changes by the player. Sometimes when a small back, or let's call it a third down back, comes in, you may see more perimeter runs or screens compared to this back who's in all the way. So at some points it can be harder because the whole complement of stuff is there.
Head coach Dan Quist with us here on his show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Dan, divisional opponent, you've got one, didn't go as well as you wanted to on a Thursday night against New Orleans. Is there any emphasis change? Does it change any knowing that a division opponent is coming in? Is that just kind of subconsciously you understand you got a division team coming in?
Well, I think anytime you're playing a division team, you know each other so well, and it's the scheme, it's the players, all that's, you know, for sure a factor. And probably the best thing for us is we're getting to come back home, you know, and be here in front of our fans and play in in a style that we want to play. So when you play two road games, it feels like a long time. So number one, we're excited to get back in the dome in front of the fans.
Yeah, and we were going to say the same thing. And then you got a long road trip after that going to San Francisco. More emphasis now being placed on this game, or is it just, hey, it's a home game, it's one of 16, we've got to handle our business?
Yeah, we're not going to try and, you know, put too much emphasis over one over the other. We generally don't try to allow any team to dictate how we want to get ready. And the more we make our, you know, it's about us and the way we play and the style we want to play, that's, you know, really what we like to talk about.
Dan, it was fun yesterday to hear in the crowd late in the game when you needed a defensive stop. All of a sudden, it felt like we were in Georgia Dome North. All of a sudden, you had – talk about that, the contingent now that's following you. We had a big crowd of people in Dallas, huge crowd here yesterday.
And, you know, for the fans that are out there, that is absolutely appreciated. And the players know it, the coaches know it. And so when we heard that, man, that was like an awesome feeling knowing behind you. It was like, man, look how many people traveled up the road to, you know, to come support us. And it was one, yeah, we couldn't have been, you know, more fired up to hear them.
You coached in Seattle, obviously. One of, if not the best fan bases. Are you surprised at all with the way the Falcon fans are? Because we do get a bad pub nationally and sometimes undeserving.
Totally undeserving. And I think anybody who spent any time down here, you know how football is important in this state. That goes from high school, that goes through college, and that goes through our team. And, you know, for us to have, you know, to be the NFL team in our state with this kind of football support, that's why it's so much fun playing at home. It really is.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I had a couple fans ask me, does Dan Quinn take a look at what Carolina's doing already in the year, having a good season? Obviously, where they're 6-7 games in the season. And I said, well, they play them in December, but I'll ask the coach for you. Did he take a look at what Carolina did last night?
I did not.
There you go. He's
did
not worried
know
about
the answer.
I did. I told him. I said no. He's single-minded and concentrating on the Tampa.
We just try to stay as much as we can in the present moment and control the things that we can to see how good we can play this week. For us to spend a lot of time worrying about who we're going to play 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks down the line, it really has no effect on us. So how good can we get this week at our skills and get ourselves ready to play? So that's honestly, you know, the pocket of staying ready that we just do it week to week.
Last thing before I'm done, you start to look at 6-1, and I asked you after week one, did you kind of pinch yourself at 1-0? Now it's 6-1. Do you kind of pinch yourself and say, man, we're 6-1, we're a really good football team?
I think one of the things that our challenge is to see, we want to find out what we can be and not settle for what we are right now. And so if that can happen, it's all right. That's where we're at now. That's good. But what can we be as a team, and how much better can we get? And here's some of the things, by the way, that we can do at practice this week to get better. And so really that's, you know, where our focus is at, and let's just – it's another week to go see if we can get better and play our best. Our best football hasn't been done together as a group yet. And so I told the team that, and that excites me. Our best ball, our best game is in front of us. We haven't had that yet.
Is where roughly they would need to get for a career high. And it's intercepted at the 43-yard line.
And how about that play? Big play for the Atlanta Falcons that really seal the deal as Robinson Therese has the interception. Dave Archer back alongside John Michaels, and we're joined by now one of the guys that's really energized this defense, O'Brien Schofield. O'Brien, just that play. I mean, what's that do to you when you see one of your young guys make a play like Robinson did there?
Oh, man, it's awesome. You know, it definitely brings that connectivity together. It lets you know next man in, and for a young guy to be able to step up in and make a play like that to change the game, to win the game, I mean, that's huge. I mean, we saw it week one with Ricardo Allen, you know, really getting his first start, and see it with Therese, man, that's awesome.
Coach Quinn always preaches next man up, and I just hear you say that first question we ask. How much does that belief really carry over into the games where you guys just know, hey, there's no matter who's on the field, no matter who's out there, a guy's going to make a play?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where the chemistry comes in, that grind that you do all through offseason. You really get to see your teammates grind, and you know who's ready and who's with you. And the coaching staff has done a great job putting this team together. And we rely on everybody, man. You never know when your name is going to call, whether it's injury, whether, you know, someone's, you know, struggling, whatever the situation may be. And when you come in, we don't expect to miss a beat.
O'Brien Schofield here in our player spotlight here on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. O'Brien, when you looked at your opportunity to come to Atlanta, obviously Coach Quinn being the guy, you left Arizona to join Dan Quinn in 2013. Was that the ultimate decision to come here? Was because Dan Quinn was the head coach?
Absolutely. You know, the fact that he even asked me to come, I was very excited about the opportunity. Just having him in Seattle, I thought he was a great defensive coordinator. He gave me an opportunity there to get better, you know, because it was so many guys there. It was so hard getting on the field. So it helped me as a player because I took it upon myself to learn everything. I mean, I rushed from the nose, the three technique. I played the four. Whatever I could do to get on the field, I did it. And that expanded my knowledge in his defense, and it made it a lot easier. So for him to ask me to come and be a leader and show guys the right way to do things, I thought it was an awesome opportunity, and I took advantage of it.
You know, you talk about that sacrifice of playing wherever, nose, three technique, play outside. You see that a little bit with Adrian Claiborne, one of your teammates, a guy that's played in most of his career, and now all of a sudden he's sliding inside. Talk about that group, the four of you, whether it's you, Vic Beasley, Clay, or obviously the big veteran in Babineau, and how you guys get along and get after the passer.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, we had a great camp going into the season. We were getting pressure early, and then it was a couple games where, you know, teams started getting the ball out fast, and we were getting frustrated, you know, that we weren't getting back there like we wanted to, and we weren't rushing well as a group. So we started meeting on Thursdays and really understanding, you know, how teams are trying to attack us, what they're trying to do, and different ways we can affect the quarterback. And I think we have a guy like AC that's as versatile as he is. That allows me this game, I was able to stand up and rush from the three technique and leave him out at end, you know, give him some reps there. You got Babineau, who was amazing this game. You know, he had a couple quarterback hits and just his energy and that leadership. And we're trying to bring Vic along, man. He's such an amazing talent. The things that he can do for us as far as a rush group, I think that, you know, once he starts – you know, really getting after it, it's going to be fun.
I think what's been kind of fun, O'Brien, when you look at the way Coach Quinn has kind of used you guys in different ways, you'd think that, okay, we got the big group, which is going to be Tyson Jackson and Paul Solei, and here comes Rasheed Hegman, and those guys are going to come in. They're going to stop the run.
Yeah.
And then when we want to get after the pass, we're going to bring in the cheetahs, and they're going to get after the pass. But that hadn't been the case because there's been times where maybe the big fellas have struggled a little bit maybe with the speed of the offensive line or whatever, and you guys have come in and shut the run down. It's been kind of neat, and it's kind of probably been tough for opponents to kind of gear in when you're going to be on the field.
Yes, I think, you know, Coach Cox does an amazing job with the techniques that we work through during the week and the expectation. You know, we all know we have to pass rush. We all know we have to stop the run. And I think that, you know, the nickel group, Coach Quinn will call it, is we're the guys with the juice, and he expects us to bring the juice and the energy and really get things going. And our big guys up front, man, I mean, that fourth down stop that they had, you know, when you see stuff like that, that's energizing. Those are the things that get the momentum going for the nickel group. You know, when you see those guys getting the knockbacks, knocking the offensive line down and being aggressive. So, I mean, this is the formula he used in Seattle, and it worked very well. And I think that, you know, we're all coming together. It's still early. You know, we're having success, but we're nowhere near where we want to be as a group and the expectation that we have for one another.
I got to ask you, how's it feel yesterday? All of a sudden you come free, and Zach Mettenberger standing there like a statue, and you got a free run at him. How does that feel as a defensive lineman when you've got that free release, you brought pressure on that play, and you're able to come up with a big sack?
Absolutely, man. I was definitely full speed, didn't break stride. I wanted him to feel me. But, you know, that sack definitely did give us some momentum and change the game. And, you know, Richard Smith been doing a great job dialing up some pressures yesterday and mixing it up, you know, not just going straight pressures, but giving them different looks. And they made a mistake in, you know, their protection, and I was able to capitalize on it. And after that, man, we were rolling. We were rolling.
O'Brien Schofield, our guest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game here on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. And O'Brien, that's what I want to kind of get into. You guys were unbelievable on third down. I know that was something you concentrated on in kind of that little mini bye week post New Orleans game. They were 1-for-9 on third down and conversion yesterday. You were able to get them off the field. That had been a little bit of a bone of contention with you a little bit. You guys hadn't been able to do that as well. Talk about that and the emphasis of that in some of the practices from a communication standpoint to allow you to be that successful on third down.
Communication is huge. That's something we definitely took attention to detail with, making sure everyone's communicating, everyone's on the same page, which allows us to play freely and play fast. And I think that the energy and the effort that you're seeing, it's like we're making the calls come to life. And that's how it was in the preseason. That's how it was earlier on in the season. And, you know, when we got a leader back like Justin Durant, I mean, it's, you need those guys. You need those veterans that play those key roles, you know, because it's definitely a different presence. It's definitely a different voice that you're hearing in that huddle. And, you know, just from a standpoint, someone say, hey, watch the chip, watch the crack toss. You know, those little small things allow you to play fast.
When you sit and you talk about the guys playing behind you, Durant playing a huge role yesterday, but you look outside with Desmond Trufant, Robert Alford. I saw yesterday Jalen Collins got a lot of run and did a good job. Does that help you as a D-line, knowing the guys behind you have your back and you don't have to sit there and try to rush for 4 seconds? It can be, boom, get in, quick pressure, and you know you're going to have players behind you making plays.
Absolutely. And that's where the rush and the coverage goes hand in hand. You know, they're counting on us to get pressure and cause the quarterback to throw some crazy passes, and we're counting on them to give us that extra time just to get back there. And Marquand's done an amazing job, man. He got a younger group, and I think that, you know, we've seen, you know, True had his two fumble recoveries and a touchdown. Alpha had two picks. You know, everyone's playing so well in their role, and I think that as we get closer and come together, and I mean, we've had some tough games where we've had to rely and have team wins, but I think once that confidence and that understanding between one another really happens, I mean, you'll see more dominant performances between, you know, the groups.
I think we've seen in the first third of the season here how good you guys are and how good the coaches are at making some little tweaks at halftime. It might be just an attitude adjustment like happened in Dallas, where veterans step up like yourself and say, hey, this isn't us, let's play better, and you did. It wasn't necessarily a big tweak from a schematic standpoint. This weekend, it looked like maybe Coach Smith, Coach Quinn came up with some little pressures that John was talking about, where you made some 5- and 6-man pressure looks that created some problems. Now, the layman fan out there will say, oh, Brian, why don't you blitz every down, man? You guys get there every down. Tell the fan why is the reason you can't come every down?
You can't do that because now we're susceptible for something in coverage. You know, you gotta have your coverage guys out there. And from a pressure standpoint, they trust us as rushers. They understand that we can get there as a 4-man rush, and our job is to show the coaches that so they can believe in us. Because when you have to dial pressures up, I mean, you're leaving your secondary out to dry sometimes, especially when you play those man-to-man coverages. It's like the attitude is we have to get home, we have to get there. So right now I just think it's fun, man, to understand that the coaches can make these adjustments and the players are taking it and they're putting it out there, applying it to on-the-field play as soon as we're able to. So, I mean, all season you've seen the second half, we've been a totally – different team. We've even tightened it up more, and I mean, it's small adjustments. It's like this guy be here, you know, this guy's there, and I think the way that the team is buying in, you're going to start to see more success.
Did you sense yesterday that yesterday's game was going to play out like that? It would look like a physical game from both sides. You guys playing physically, defensively, and so did Tennessee. Give them a ton of credit. They came in as the number 3 defense in the league. They played very physical as well. Did you sense that it was going to be kind of that one-score, low-scoring affair where you guys might have to make a play to win the game?
Well, you know, just the atmosphere yesterday was kind of weird, man. You know, you can walk into those games where you can tell, like, it's going to be a dogfight. And to see what happened with them on film prior, you know, we've seemed to get these teams as getting blown out or having these crazy losses that's coming in with a chip on their shoulder. So the games have been a fight, but I think it's just a credit to just the whole team, from special teams, offense, and defense, the way we've been able to play for one another and play off one another. You know, the defense is able to pick up the offense is able to pick up the defense, and the special teams has been consistent. So I think when you have your team playing like that and still continue to move forward, I think that's promising.
I'm down there with you guys, and I get to see when the offense is on the field, you're getting coached, whether it's, you know, Coach Cox out there or whomever. What do you guys think? And I know fans ask us this a lot, and that's why I want to get your perspective on it. When the offense struggles like they did a day ago, is it a situation where you're going, we just got to pick them up? Or does there ever become a frustration factor on either side when the other side's not playing as well?
Teams that aren't close, you probably get frustrated. But, man, we trust Matt. We trust our offense. And our job is to control what we can control, and that's to get them the ball back and give them as many opportunities, to give them the best field position that we possibly can, because – I mean, there's going to be games like that, man. There's going to be games where we're struggling as defense and we need the offense to put points on the board. We need them to hold the ball longer, you know. And when you're able to play together like that as a team, like we've displayed, I think that's an awesome attribute, because a lot of times you don't see that. You know, it really sucks when the defense is having a bad day and the offense is having a bad day.
Try not to have too many.
No, we don't want those. Falcon defensive end O'Brien Schofield with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. O'Brien, we want to get let the fan know a little bit about more about you and dig into your background a little bit. We got a few minutes here. Wisconsin, went to okay, Chicago kid.
Yeah.
How'd you end up at Wisconsin?
Basically, my dad was in the military, and he was stationed in Japan for 3 years, my first 3 years in college. And I didn't want to be too far away from my mother. I have younger siblings. I'm the oldest. So I chose Wisconsin because it was like a two-hour drive. I wanted them to be able to come to my games. And just a tradition at Wisconsin, man. Ron Danes, the Erasmus James, and all those big-name guys that they had. And I thought it was something special, and I had an opportunity to pursue a professional career.
Now, Camp Randall is notorious for the fifth down and a great party scene there. Obviously, you were a great football player. How much did you enjoy the atmosphere of what Wisconsin had to bring?
You know what? I really didn't enjoy it until my senior year, honestly. I was very focused the whole time I was there. You know, college is hard, man. You know, you don't – it's not like the NFL where you're drafted here for a position. It's like you come in as a freshman and you got like a junior or a sophomore just in front of you playing. And, you know, it's kind of hard to beat those guys out unless there's injury or, you know, the person's not playing well. You know, something like – something crazy has to happen because it's hard to come in and play as a true freshman. It's almost like you got to come in and wait your turn and perfect your craft. And in the mid-time, stay focused.
Former fourth-round draft pick in 2010 of the Arizona Cardinals, found his way after three seasons as a Cardinal to the Seahawks and played two seasons with the Seahawks, and we're fortunate to have him here in Atlanta heating up the quarterback off the edge. But the fact is, you know, your family, in the background of your family, there's some athleticism in the background of the family. Bobby Ingram,
yes.
You had Andre Carter who played at Clemson.
Yeah.
Vonnie Holiday, a lot yes. of people know who Vonnie Holiday is. I mean, did you have interaction with any of those people, any cousins, uncles?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Vonnie's my cousin, and I used to go to his football camp as a kid, and it was crazy because I played with him 2 years in Arizona, so I'm like, what are the chances? But I learned so much from him as far as how to be a pro, how to take care of your body, and, you know, just the perception of the coaches and the organization, the perception that you want to give off. You know, if you want to be a hard worker, this is how you show that you're a hard worker. And those are the small entities that I try to pass on to these younger guys, because it's really important to understand how to be a pro. And the quicker you can learn that, the better off you'll be in having the chance to expand your time in the NFL.
I saw something yesterday when we were leaving the field. You actually went along the entire sideline where all the Falcon fans were situated behind the bench and high-fived probably, I don't know, 1,000 people. What does it mean for you to see, A, your fan base travel, and why did you want to give back to the guys that were sitting there in the front row?
I'm going to tell you this. This is crazy, but when I first signed here, the first thing that people were hitting me up on Twitter is like, the fan base sucked here. And, you know, I didn't believe that because I've heard otherwise. So I appreciate that, man. Like, if, from a standpoint of when you're on the road, if you have fans there that's giving you juice, you know, I mean, I tweeted it out, man. Like, that's something special to have that fan support on the road. And for me to show my appreciation, I just wanted to, you know, high five everybody and just kind of say thank you, you know, because it was that point in the game where the defense, you know, we were rolling a little bit, but I felt like it was a home game for a little bit because our fans were loud, they were rocking, and when you have that support, I think that really helps the team as far as momentum and juice.
Been great to have you, O'Brien. Appreciate you coming on with us, man.
Thanks for having me.
One of the guys that's injected some juice into this defense is number one in the league against the run and is getting after the passer each and every week a little bit better. O'Brien Schofield, appreciate you. Make sure you join us from the Big Dome at 11 o'clock on Sunday. Pre-game show starts with Mike Conte and Hugh Douglas. And then at 1 o'clock, John, myself, and Wes Durham will bring you the game as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come to town. We'll talk to you from the Big Dome next week.